RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Yes, good morning, Paul. Thanks for having me. So as you know, earlier this year, I made a documentary film for RCR called Fluoride on the Brain. It's a short documentary film about fluoride and the latest evidence that's come out about neurotoxicity. A big part of it was focused on a new report. This was the report put out by the US National Toxicology Program, which is part of the Department of Health and Human Services in the US, which is their version of the Ministry of Health. And this report is about 1,500 pages long, and it looked at 72 studies that assessed the association between fluoride and IQ in children. And in those, 19 were considered to be high quality. And of those 19, 18 reported an association between higher fluoride exposure and lower IQ in children. So my film, Fluoride on the Brain, which if you haven't seen it yet, you can see at the RCR website at www.realitycheck.radio. It focused on this report for a lot of it, and it also talked about the alternatives to fluoride. Now, since then, there's been several things that have happened. Our High Court has found that the latest order by the Director General of Health to have 14 councils around the country fluoridate their water, the High Court found that that was an unlawful order. And that still hasn't been resolved. Also, a federal court judge in the US has made a judgment that the safety of fluoride is in doubt. And just last week, a new review by the Cochrane Collaboration has found that the effects of fluoride in the water are negligible at best. And that's big. So we're going to get to that shortly. So I'm actually wondering if this is the end for fluoride. So we're trying to get a representative from the Dental Association to speak about these developments, and we hope to have that interview for you very soon. But in the meantime, I've also interviewed Kane Titchener from Fluoride Free NZ, who appeared in the Fluoride on the Brain documentary, and who has been a tireless voice fighting fluoride in our water for many years now. And so the first thing I asked him was, with the publishing of the NTP report, which had such damning evidence against fluoride, why wasn't the practice of community water fluoridation stopped immediately? Or was it that the findings in that report were somewhat maybe overstated by the anti-fluoride side?
Yeah, so great question. So the thing is that the NTP report has literally just been finalised. So it's about a month ago now that the NTP report had been finished all of its finalisation processes in terms of what the NTP needed to do. It had the Board of Scientific Councils sign off. So really, until it was absolutely 100% final, I suspect people were going to be holding off judgment on the NTP. So we can't understate this NTP report and the importance of it, because as I said to Paul in a couple of interviews now, that the finalisation of that NTP report really is the end of fluoridation. So what we've got is a Department of the Health and Human Services that is an interagency collaboration between the CDC, the FDA and the NIEHS, finding the conclusion that, as you said, at 1.5 there's a lowering of IQ. So that can't be denied now. There is absolutely neurotoxic effects from fluoride at 1.5 and above, okay? And the EPA even recognised that as well.
One of the problems with that, though, is that I've heard pro-fluoride people talking recently on other stations. I'm talking about Rob Beaglehole from the New Zealand Dental Association. He says that there's still no evidence, that this doesn't change anything.
Yeah, so that was another station I listened to as well, and there's a number of errors that Rob Beaglehole has said. And I just want to say from the outset, you know, like, we have got the same goal as the NZDA. We have got the same goal as these dentists. The only thing we really disagree on is the water fluoridation method and approach to trying to solve that. So I just want to put that up front, that there's a, you know, there's an opportunity to come together here. We all recognise sugar is actually the real problem here. But there are a number of issues that Rob Beaglehole made in that interview, and I can go through those if you like.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, firstly, he referred to the US court case, which I'll go through in a bit of detail later, as a district court, and it's actually the federal court. he downplayed, it sounded like he was sort of downplaying the National Toxicology Program as sort of just a just like a government agency. It's actually a really high-powered organisation that is, that's its sole job is to look into neurotoxic effects of all, you know, substances, right?
And it does that on behalf of the Department of Health and Human Services, which is their version of the Ministry of Health, right?
Correct. That's correct. So, and in terms of the world, you know, this is one of the top neuroscience organizations in the world. So you can't deny their findings, you know. And as you said, so at 1.5 parts per million, they found basically a lowering of IQ at high and low levels, okay? Now, the other thing that Rob Biggerhall made the mistake of saying was that there's no evidence at 0.7 parts per million in New Zealand that we fluoridate at between 0.7 and 1 part per million of harm. Now, there are a number of studies that the NIH, National Institute for Health, have now published 10 IQ and fluoride studies, or fluoride and ADHD studies, that show a lowering of IQ or an increase in ADHD. So, and that's at the 0.7 equivalent. Six of those are at the water fluoridation level because they were completed in Canada. So for him to say there is absolutely no evidence is really, really misleading. Another thing he said was that the countries that were investigated in terms of their research, he neglected to say Canada, which is a fluoridating country. So he's sort of misleading there as well.
And at what level do Canada fluoridate their water?
So they fluoridate at 0.7 parts per million, and in some places slightly lower.
So that's lower than in New Zealand, and they're finding these results?
Correct. So we fluoridate at 0.7 to 1 with a target of 0.85.
Okay, but this federal court judge ruling that you talked about at the beginning of that, it's a little bit confusing to people. You know, I think Rob Biggerhall was a little bit confused about that. He was talking about how this was a ruling that was made in a California district court, but this was a federal court judge. Can you explain to me how that's what that's all about, why that is? Because that does seem a little bit confusing. And also, what was his ruling? He was talking to the EPA, wasn't he, in this ruling?
Yeah, that's right. So it's important that it's a federal court because he can direct a federal organisation. So the US EPA is a federal organisation. And what the ruling was that the court finds that fluoridation of water at 0.7 milligrams per litre, the level presently considered optimal in the United States, poses an unreasonable risk of reduced IQ in children. So that is huge. Like him just stating that. And what people need to understand is he has reviewed all of the evidence on this. So he has not had to take the US EPA's word. He has not had to assume that they've got any authority, which is what generally happens in New Zealand. The Ministry of Health tends to be the final word. So the judge has gone through all of this research, and that's what he was waiting for, the NTP report. That's why we've had the NTP finalised, and we've had the US court case coming out. So what he did was, when the NTP was finalised, he then went back to the plaintiffs and the defence lawyers and said, are there any changes? No, there's not. If anything, it strengthens the work on the NTP and the finding that they've got. And then he made his ruling. So that was essentially the ruling.
Okay, so the judge said that it was fluoride was an unreasonable risk. What does that mean?
Basically, when you're doing a risk assessment, which is what Judge Chen effectively did in this process of the ruling, he needed to determine what the hazard level was and what the exposure level was. So the exposure level can be measured in two ways. It can be measured in water fluoridation or maternal fluoride urinary levels. And essentially what he has done is he said, okay, at 4 part per million, the US EPA agreed that there was something going on there, which is a bit loose, but that's what they said. You need to take a factor of 10. And in actual fact, you need to take a factor of 100 because there's also a further uncertainty level there. So if you take, but he just used the point, the 10 margin of 10 to get through to 4 parts per million divided by 10 down to 0.4 parts per million. Now, at that level, 0.4 is almost half of what 0.7 is. So the exposure level is 0.7 and the hazard level is 0.4. That's to ensure all members of the community and all the population is kept safe, right? So that's one of the ways he came to that conclusion. Another one that he used was a study called Grunging 2023 that identified the maternal urinary fluoride level of 0.28 would lower IQ by one IQ point. Now, at that point, you still need to take a factor of 10 to get down to the safe level, which is 0.03 parts per million. So there's what I'm trying to say is there are a whole range of ways that he has cut this to identify that there is an unreasonable risk.
Okay, so what does the EPA do now? That's the Environmental Protection Agency, right?
Yes, that's right. So the EPA, the judge ruled that the EPA can, they have to mitigate this risk. So the judge didn't specify what that was. He left that to the EPA. So there is a little bit of not wiggle room because they have to take action. There's a bit of delaying in time that the EPA could take on this. And there's also the possibility that the EPA could put in an appeal. Although the ruling that he's made seems to be pretty watertight, so the lawyers are quite confident around that.
Okay. So what effect does that have on us here in New Zealand?
Well, the US Federal Court has no jurisdiction in New Zealand. However, the ruling on the science has given an unbiased view of the evidence that we have been putting forward and debating for all of these years. And so what it does is it completely legitimizes what we have been saying, and therefore it gives us credence when we go and speak to councils and speak to MPs, etc., that we actually have the evidence. And what it basically what it means is it's the end of fluoridation, because if there's an unreasonable risk of fluoride in the water, then they have to mitigate that risk. And the only way to do that is to stop water fluoridation.
Okay, but it's not the end of fluoridation. For instance, just last week, Mahi Drysdale, the new mayor of Tauranga, he went to the Ministry of Health and he asked for a stay of execution, so to speak. He asked to pause all of this while the High Court comes back on their ruling, which is another subject we need to talk about too, where that's at, where the High Court ruled that the Ministry of Health's directives to councils was actually unlawful because it didn't take into account the Bill of Rights. So Mahi Drysdale went to the Ministry of Health to ask for a pause until that was sorted out, and no doubt because of everything that you've been talking about here today as well. You've spoken to Mahi. How did that go?
Yes.
How's that going over there in Tauranga?
Yeah. So I had the opportunity to have half an hour with Mayor Mahi on Friday morning with NZDSOS, Dr. Ratner. And I took Mia Mahe through the PowerPoint that I've been doing literally around the country, and I took him through all of the detail that we've got. You know, it was really fascinating to see his response, and it's largely, his response was similar to what he said in public already. So what he basically said was, that was what I presented was actually our opinion, when in actual fact I was just presenting the NTP report and the findings. He's got the access to that, and the US court case finding and rulings, and he's got access to that. So that was quite interesting that he said that. It was pretty clear that he had some concerns around this. And one of the things he said was, to get your point, the Ministry of Health had just sent him an email saying, and I hadn't seen the email, so I can't, 100% verify, but he said that the Ministry of Health said the directives still stand, fluoridation was to continue, meaning it's safe and effective. In spite of all of this NTP and in spite of the US EPA situation.
Just on that topic, do we have an update yet on what is happening with that High Court ruling? The Ministry of Health was sent away to come back with a justification for this ruling, this fluoridation ruling to 14 councils around New Zealand based on the Bill of Rights. Have they come back yet? Is there any update on that for us?
So we're still waiting to see the borer. So a number of councils have started without that, even though our Bill of Rights have not been assured. So we're still waiting. I think it's 10 months now since that ruling that the Bill of Rights needed to be completed. The judge ruled it didn't need to be completed before the fluoridation, which is a bit unbelievable, but there you go. But we're still waiting to see that. And the other thing is that Western Bay of Plenty, who is just around the road from Tauranga, they requested the Ministry of Health to turn up and answer some simple questions, which they declined the opportunity to do that. Now, if you've got something, a practice, where you are promoting, you would expect to go out into the public and explain that method and how you're doing it and the benefits of it. And we have not seen them or the NZDA go out and do that.
This is a situation that I found as well as I was making Fluoride on the Brain, the documentary for Reality Check Radio. What I noticed was that I couldn't get an interview from the Ministry of Health or from the New Zealand Dental Association or anyone. Do you think these developments perhaps will perhaps bring them out? They're going to need to start discussing it, surely.
Yeah, they need to understand is that they're leaving a gap in sort of the airtime, aren't they? So because they don't come out and explain their position and their view is, they're just leaving the people to, you know, make up what they think. So it's really in their best interest to front up and explain. And we would be more than happy to be involved in some form of debate or panel where both sides of the argument can be heard in public.
Okay, there's another part to all of this too, which is just it's developing. It came out just at the end of last week. Both CNN and The Guardian, which are two huge media organizations, global media organizations, they reported that the Cochrane collaboration, which is touted by many as the gold standard of medical and scientific research reviewing, Cochrane has come out with a report stating that the effect of fluoride is now so negligible it should be stopped. Can you explain this one for me? Because this is massive, isn't it?
Yeah, so this is the Cochrane collaboration, which actually the directives to the 14 councils have relied on. So the Cochrane collaboration 2015 report on water fluoridation is what the Ministry of Health use. Now, there's a number of issues with that report, but let's just focus on the 2024 version, which the reason I said that is because we need to acknowledge that these guys are going to take notice of this. So, for example, the 2024 Cochrane collaboration, as you said, found basically no benefit to water fluoridation, and also it found that there was no benefit to lower socioeconomic areas. So, for example, it says there is insufficient evidence to determine the effect of cessation of community water fluoridation on Kiwis and whether water fluoridation results in a change in disparities in Kiwis according to socioeconomic status, right? So basically what the argument for water fluoridation is that it targets those lower socioeconomic areas that aren't brushing their teeth, for example. But what this Cochrane review, which is gold standard, is saying is that there's actually no evidence for that.
But it is saying that once upon a time, fluoride was effective. That's what it's saying, that it was back in the 1970s, but since people started using fluoride toothpaste more and more, its effect has declined over the years. To this point, it's now negligible. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, so those studies, there is a high level of bias with those studies, but that is exactly what it is saying. There has been an improvement, according to the Cochrane collaboration, in terms of the performance of, there's been a decrease in the number of decayed, missing and filled teeth that water fluoridation has achieved. However, we would say that those studies are also highly biased. So, right now, there is no potential benefit to water fluoridation.
Okay, so last question. There's been a lot invested in this fluoride argument from both sides. And like I said, in my opinion, as a documentary filmmaker and a journalist, when I made Fluoride on the Brain, what I noticed was that the pro-fluoride side doesn't want to engage with the anti-fluoride side. And as I said, I couldn't get anyone from the Ministry of Health to do an interview. And I thought that was a real shame, because I do think also that there are good people on that side who truly believe in fluoride. So we need to hear what they have to say. But in light of all of this, the judge's rulings and the NTP report and the Cochrane review, all of this has happened. Surely they can't keep saying there is no evidence. So there must be a discussion now at a national level about whether we keep doing this. And if that's the case, how do we get these two sides together to find a way forward? What's the point that you can all agree on that can at least start this discussion?
Yeah, great point. So the thing is, we actually do agree on a lot. And we had a debate in Timaru last year, Mary Byrne and I, against two dentists down there. And at the end of the debate, the moderator came up and said, "You actually agree on a lot more than you disagree on." And that's exactly the case. We all want healthy children. We all want healthy teeth. We all want the kids to be safe, and we want them to have, you know, regular dental checkups, you know, informed consent and what methods they use. So there are a number of aspects that we totally agree on. It is just the water fluoridation aspect that we don't. And, you know, I've been trying to reach out to the NCDA to have this conversation, and that's what I'll continue to try and do that.
Yeah, and look, we're in discussions too, trying to get them on here on RCR so that at least we can start having that discussion too. Thank you so much for coming on this morning, Kane. I know you're not feeling that well this morning, so I really appreciate the effort.
Thanks, Alistair. Appreciate your time. Thank you.
That's Kane Titchener from Fluoride Free NZ. And as we've heard, with all the latest developments out of the US and out of the Cochrane Review, surely now a national debate has to happen. And so we wait and we hope. And in the meantime, we're also hoping that we're going to be able to get someone from the New Zealand Dental Association to come on RCR and talk about this and give their point of view as well. Or perhaps even maybe someone from the Ministry of Health. That's how democracy works. There has to be a discussion, right? But in the meantime, if you're not up to date with the fluoride discussion, the Fluoride on the Brain documentary, an original RCR production, is available now to view on our RCR website at www.realitycheck.radio. And if you're concerned about fluoride, please do watch it and share it with as many people as you can, including your local councillors, so we can get that discussion happening. And lastly, if you're in Tauranga this weekend and you do want to do something to support Kane and Fluoride Free NZ, they're going to have a community family get-together this Saturday, the 12th of October at 10:30 a.m. at Coronation Park, Mount Maunganui. And then on Monday morning, prior to the Tauranga City Council meeting, which is taking place at number 2 Elizabeth Street in Tauranga, the Bay of Plenty Regional Council offices, the Tauranga City Council are going to make their decision on fluoridation at their meeting at 8:30 a.m. So Fluoride Free NZ are asking for people to show up for a peaceful protest there so councillors can hear their voices before the vote. And if you didn't catch any of those details, but you still want to go along, you can find all the details at the Fluoride Free NZ website at www.fluoridefree.org.nz. That's all from me. Back to you, Paul. The RCR shop has great gift ideas. From great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more, the RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.